Heavenly Father, that we have started the year with you, and you're going to grant us to get into higher grounds, O Lord, spiritually, physically, materially, financially, in every aspect of our lives, O Lord. You'll bless our church, you'll bless the ministry, you'll bless everyone that is involved in supporting this ministry. We thank you, O Lord. Take now control of the service. Bless us as we open your word for this few moments of meditation, of reflection around your word, if our Sunday school lesson, O Lord. Take us and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you once again. We are going to read Galatians chapter 4, 22, 23, and 28. You can read everything from 22 to 31, but we don't have time, so we're going to just read three verses. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Verse 28, now we brethren, as Isaac, we are the children of promise. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. If you can give me my slides so that you can follow them up. We are going just to resume on our topic, the children of Abraham, the seed of Abraham. Since I think last time it was the 29th of September when we stopped, so we thought before we can go any further, we need to review what we did to bring everybody up to speed, and then we can carry on with the new, whatever the Lord will put on our way. So, Abraham's seed in all generations, as we said there. Abraham's faith, do you have the clicker? No? Okay. We know that since we claim to be children of Abraham, we have to know what Abraham's faith was about. And we all know that Abraham's faith was on the promise of God. Okay. Okay. It's on. Okay. Okay, so Abraham's faith was based on God's promise. God made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham believed the promise. That's what made us, you know, to be preaching about Abraham today. Because Abraham, what he did, his only merit was to believe the promise of God. And believing the promise of God made him the father of faith that we know today. And the promise was based on to bring forth the son. And anything that Abraham needed, because the only thing Abraham had to do was to believe the promise. Amen. And to put his, trust on the one who made the promise. The Lord said, I will give you a son. I will make you. And Abraham believed that. And in believing the promise, everything that Abraham needed to bring forth the son was in the promise. Amen. Within the promise was everything that should transform Abraham. The power of transformation. No matter how long it took, no matter how Abraham got old, getting old year after year, but the faith in the promise has everything to bring even the transformation in his life. Amen. And the evidence that Abraham, bear with me, we are going to run through. There's a lot of slides, so we don't have enough time. I'm just going to run through. It's things that we've spoken about, so I'm just reminding, so I don't need to go into more details. So we said The evidence that Abraham believed the promise was shown in his attitude. Amen. The faith in the promise made him to leave his country. His faith in the promise made him to change his course of life, to abandon everything, his ambition, everything, because what the promise in itself started a process of transformation in Abraham, and it could be noticed in, even in the outside. Amen. The, you know, his faith in the promise even brought transformation in his family. Amen. So there's so many things we can say about, but in the promise was even prevailing power. We know when he went, when Lot was taken captive, we spoke about that as well. Since God knew that through Abraham, a child will come, it was God's duty to protect Abraham. Anything that would come his way, even if Abraham had only 318 men, and those kings, they were armies, countries, Abraham was able to prevail. Why? Because of the promise. God's promise in Abraham gave him the prevailing power. So since we claim to be children of Abraham, no matter what will stand in your way, since you have the promise, God will give you the prevailing power. Amen. So, though Abraham didn't understand, he didn't try to interpret the promise. He said, God said so, I believe it. Abraham, you are old. I don't care, but God said I will have a child. Amen. But doubt in the promise came through Sarah, which tried to interpret the promise of God according to her own belief, according to biology, according to human science, that I'm too old. Since God said this and this and that, and given that I'm old, an old woman, that child can come only through Sarah. That doubt in the promise produced another result. Amen. But the Bible, as we have read in Galatians, we are not children of that doubt in the promise. We are children of the promise. So what does the children of the promise do? They do, they act, they behave like Abraham. Amen. They believe the promise. They don't try to put their own understanding in the promise. They don't try to interpret the promise. Because if and every one of us here, if we want to put our human reasoning in the promise of God, every one of us will come with its own interpretation. Depending on the country we come from, depending on the family we have raised in, depending on our education. So everyone will have his lenses through which he's going to read the promise of God. But Abraham didn't do that. Amen. So we saw that as children of Abraham, things that make people in every age to miss, to understand, to catch the realization, the fulfillment of the promise of God, there are many obstacles. As we said, understanding, it depends on your background. It depends on your education, your tradition. Many people from different places, if we want to put our understanding in the word of God, will fail to understand. Amen. So that's what made them in the time of the first coming of the Lord to be so confused, even to understand who is God. Because when Jesus would come, why did they crucify Jesus? Because he said, I'm the Son of God. That was a blasphemy for them. Why? Because they have had their own traditions, their own understanding. When you come and say you are a son of God, it's a blasphemy because God can't have a son according to their own traditions. But they didn't know from which realm Jesus was talking. Amen. So there were so many confusions in them about the Messiah. He would come this way, he's going to be a general, he's going to be going to cast down the Romans. There were so many understandings. Why? Because they didn't put the faith of Abraham in action. Amen. So many things they didn't understand because of false representation. And then we also spoke about, you know, the understanding of the scriptures for them. You know, the hills will melt low and the valleys will be exalted. All these things made them to get confused. Today, we spoke about the confusion that reigns in the people of, in the, you know, Christian world today about understanding the scriptures. Because as the prophet says, we came out of the denominations. We have to lay down everything we, because our trouble many times in the message, we come in the message, but you still have your Jehovah Witness understanding of the Bible. You still have some of the teaching you took from Egypt. You are carrying it with. So when the prophets, we read the Bible, we read the prophet, and you're still comparing it to what you have been taught in Catholic, in the Seventh-day Adventist, and so many things that we are carrying from our education, from our tradition, from our churches, and so forth. And it makes so much confusion today in the message world, even when we are talking about the main topics that we are believing. You know, the coming of the Lord, so many interpretations. So many people, because of what? Because of the burden they are carrying. Amen. We spoke about this. When people speak about rapture, you know, some of us, even in the message, we still have this representation of the rapture. Amen. When they say we'll be raptured, people see things like this. But is it really the rapture the prophet is talking about? Amen. Because in the time of the Lord Jesus, remember, in the time of the first coming of the Lord, we said people missed to recognize Jesus as the Messiah because of their representation. Because they thought the Messiah would come and be a general and cast away the Romans. Some of them thought it would be a man dressed in a white robe and will obey literally all the law of Moses. When they saw him healing someone on a Sabbath day, they said he can't be the Messiah. But they failed to know how the Messiah would be identified. Amen. Today people are talking, waiting for the rapture. I don't know the school bus. I pity the children in there. You know, the rapture can't be something like this. Because it's never been something like this in the past. The Bible says the kingdom of God come with no observation. Amen. Anytime in the past the kingdom of God has been revealed in such a simplicity that people missed it. Amen. So, as we are talking, please, if you still have this representation, you may be right in a certain way. But for now, drop it. Amen. Let be empty and let God fill us. Amen. We spoke about dimensions. Because many of the things, you don't understand it because you don't realize that some spiritual things happen in a spiritual dimension. And the interpretation we have of the scripture most of the time is based on our, you know, human dimension understanding. And that's how people missed it. When they say Jesus was lifted up in the heaven after his resurrection, you think if it was a public event, history wouldn't have written it somewhere. Amen. The disciples saw him going into heaven. But do you think that the king and Pontius Pilate and all the other guys saw Jesus going into heaven? It was a matter of dimension. Amen. So he spoke about dimensions. Yes, when we start talking about dimension, don't think about occult. It's not occultism. Dimensions are real. Even as we are seated here, we have dimensions. Amen. They are even in the Bible. We mentioned how Paul was raptured in the third heaven. We mentioned how Elisha and the Syrians, when they were on the, you know, when they were attacked by the Syrians, the servant couldn't see the angels encamping around them. But Elisha, since he was connected to that other dimension, he could see everything. And at a certain since he saw so much doubt in his disciple, he said, God, please give him a cell phone. Amen. Yes, this device here helps us to connect to another dimension. Amen. So you need your mobile phone to connect to certain dimensions. For the scientific dimension, you need a mobile phone, you need a TV set, you need a radio, or whatever it is. But for this other dimension, you need a spiritual mobile phone. Amen. So Elisha standing in the at the mountain with his disciple, with that man, I think Gehazi, he told the Lord, open him the eyes. Gehazi didn't, you know, didn't change his geographic location. He was still at the same place, but he connected to another dimension and he could see a host of angels. Amen. And after that, he got disconnected to that dimension. He came back to this human dimension. Amen. So, this is from our beloved pastor. I stole it from him. So, these are the different dimensions. And we, as we stand, you and me here, we live only on the bottom part there. On the first, second, and third. Space, matter of time. We explained it, that it's our, you know, our makeup. We can't understand anything outside that dimension. When we say we'll meet at DCU, we are talking about that space-time dimension. There's an address to this place. You know, from where you came from, you needed this place's address, and you needed a time, because if they didn't say at 10 o'clock, you'll miss this meeting. Amen. We'll meet in, Tala Stadium, but what time? Anything we do, we need to connect a place and a time. You, a human being matter, space and time. So all our being on this realm is conditioned, is tied to these three dimensions. Space, matter, time. Amen. That's why even our language, we don't understand it, but that's what it is. When we say, I am your father, it just interprets that time-space dimension. The notion of father and son makes sense in our realm only if I came before and you came after. I'm older than you because you were born before me or after me. Even when you say, brother, you have put on weight. What does it mean? You are making a comparison. Amen. There's a notion of time there. You are taking a difference between time T1 and time T2. You were this size, you became this size. It's just a notion of time. Amen. That person has died. Why did he die? Because there was a time when he was alive, and now he's not alive anymore. So our understanding is tied to the time dimension. Amen. That's why when Jesus could say, I and the Father are one, the people from their time-space dimension, they couldn't understand how can he be a son of God. But him not being bound by time, he understand that when he's speaking about the son of God, it doesn't mean that God went and found a woman and they had a child. Because he says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Someone who is not bound in time, that's why he doesn't change. You change because you are time bound. In God, there is no time element. That's why he is the same. Amen. That's why Jesus could say, I and the Father, we are one, but I'm still his son. Because sonship in the godly dimension doesn't refer to any change. It refers to a manifestation. Amen. Time, sonship in a godly, heavenly dimension, it just means what the prophet says, en morphe, a change of form, a change of manifestation makes the Son of God. Amen. Now, let's just talk about this dimension, the fourth dimension, because this is the one we are familiar with. Do you know that as we are seated here, all this happening here? Yes. Amen. You can't see it, but maybe the UN Security Council is sitting now. They are having discussion about Gaza. They are having discussion about Russia and so forth. some team, football team is playing match somewhere, people are texting on WhatsApp, whatever. All these things are happening here. But the fact that you don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Amen. The fact that you don't see it, it doesn't mean that someone is shooting somewhere. But it just needs you to take a television set and put it here. You're going to capture that that physical reality that is happening without you being to see it. But it's happening here as we are seated here. CNN, BBC, whatever, it's happening all over here. But we are in a dimension that doesn't let us capture it. But if we get connected to that dimension, we'll be able to capture it. Amen? You need to understand this. Because all these things are important for you to understand the coming of the Lord. Amen? They didn't understand the coming of the Lord because we'll get there. As we said, dimensions are not geographic locations. Keep it in mind. Heaven, the heaven we are going to is not a geographic location. It's a dimension. Amen. Because people think rapture will take spacecraft and we go. Good. My brother, let me tell you, even if you take the fastest spaceship, and travel a million year light, you'll still be in this dimension. Amen. You'll travel, go, leave the Milky Way, go to the other galaxies, but you'll still be in this dimension. That's why when Yuri Gagarin, the first man in the space, the Soviet guy in 1961, when he went there, because Russia at that time was a communist, they didn't believe in God. When he came down, he said, I went into heaven, I didn't see God. Normal. You can't see God because God is not, a location. God is not bound by a geographical location. God is in a different dimension. Amen. If someone would tell Yuri Gagarin that you don't even need your spaceship to see God, you just need to change dimension. It's not location, it's dimension. Amen. So, this is what they are. They are not physical locations. They are plane of existence. They are all connected. As we are here, you can be in this dimension. And the fourth dimension is here. It's not a different place. You just need the correct tool to connect to that dimension. Amen. Now, most of the time, as we said, we understand scriptures from our boundaries of space-time dimension. The rapture, the Lord will come, we will change, and all the resurrection of the dead. All these things, we try to understand it from the space-time dimension. You need to move. Amen. This is what we said also, that am I still in time, yeah? Yeah, I started 10 minutes late, so I'm still in time. Yeah, I'm in another dimension, yeah? So what made them in the first coming of Jesus to miss? It was because all of these things, their representations, the lack of understanding of dimensions, and it made them completely confused. How can God die? You know, how can God, all these things they say, no, he's not a son of God. Why? Because of their understanding, their traditions, the lack of dimensions understanding. Amen. So what was the context of his first coming? We are talking about the children of Abraham. Amen. In every generation, the children of Abraham, they recognize the promise of their day. Amen. So what we have tried to do so far was to see what made people not to see, not to understand the promise of their day, the obstacles on the way. What was the day of the first coming of the Lord? We said it was not a 24 hours event. The first coming of Jesus was not a 24 hours event. It was a season. Are you with me? It was a season through which different aspects of his coming was being manifested one after the other. That all that season made the first coming of the Lord. Are you with me? So don't expect the second coming of the Lord to be a 24 hours event. Amen. He said, the first coming of the Lord was a fulfillment of a promise. And the children of Abraham saw the promise and they accepted it. That made them the children of the promise. As simple as that. It doesn't need you to go to university, study, college, or whatever. No. People that recognized the first coming were uneducated people. But they just believed the promise. That's what made them to manifest the seed of Abraham in that day. Amen. So what was the promise? It was so many. This is just a few of them. But anyone during that season that recognized one of the promises of that day, that was the day of the coming of the Lord for him. Amen. That was the day of the coming of the Lord for him. Say, I've seen the Lord. Amen. I've seen the coming of the Lord. You remember this drawing? These are the different events that made the coming of the Lord. So you can't stop at the birth and say, the Lord has come, and this is it, it is finished. That was the day of the coming of the Lord. What about the Samaritan woman? Amen. She didn't see him that day. She didn't even know that a certain Jesus is born. What about Peter, the great apostle? He was still doing his business, maybe fighting or whatever. Amen. But in that day, for Mary, even before the day he was born, Mary, the time she conceived, she said, the Lord has come. Are you with me? From the time Mary started seeing her belly getting big, she said, the Lord has fulfilled the promise. Today, the scripture is fulfilled. No one else have even seen Jesus, but the first coming of the Lord was fulfilled for Mary. Amen. Amen. For the shepherd, that night when the angel came and in the city of David, a Messiah is born, they went on and saying, the Lord has come. Amen. Amen. But for the rest of them, it was still a mystery. Amen. So many events. You can't tie it to one particular event. There's a debate today in the message. Yeah? He has come, he has not come. No, my brother, you need to be balanced. You need to keep your 2 feet on the ground. Because depending on what angle you are looking at the coming of the Lord, then don't condemn the other person. Because for that cow there in the other picture, the Lord has come. You know it was for them too. Amen. For the cow and the sheep, the Lord has come. But for those guys sitting there at the other side, the Lord has not come yet. Amen. So Mary and the shepherd couldn't go out there and say, guys, you are not believers. You'll go to hell because you have not accepted. No. It was the time of you, the time when you get the revelation. That's why Simeon could say, let me go in peace because my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Amen. But did he die at the cross already? No. Amen. Because we know that the main event of the first coming was Jesus to die on the cross. Amen. The first coming has started already, but there was still the main event waiting for them. Simon had seen him coming, but he said, let me go in peace, though he has not died on the cross yet. But someone can say, no, Simon has said the Lord has come, it's finished. No, because there's still something that has to come. Amen. Let me run quickly. Please give me 2 minutes. We said for Mary, it started even from the time she conceived. For the shepherd, we are going to go quickly. For Simeon, Philip, and Nathaniel, everyone, for those people here, it was the day they saw the scripture of Zechariah fulfilled. Said, the Lord has come. Amen. For some people, that guy on the right, for him, he lived all his life robbing banks and doing cyber criminality and so forth. He discovered that the first coming has fulfilled just a few minutes before his death. Amen. Amen. For him, that was the day of the coming of the Lord. Amen. Even a Roman, he was not even a believer. But after Jesus, the first coming, he has made miracles, everything, healed the people, preached the word. He has even died. Then he discovered that this was the Son of God. Amen. So, what was the day of the first coming of the Lord? He said, from what angle are you looking for? Amen. You need to look from the right angle. And if you are looking from the right angle, you won't condemn anyone. Amen. Amen. We've seen many people, for them, the day of the coming of the Lord. It was a different day for everyone. It didn't come as a collective revelation. Everyone got it at his own time. Amen. To conclude, the day of the coming of the Lord was the day everyone received the revelation. That made the day of the coming of the Lord. So, today was just a reminder. We are start building from this and see the fulfillment of the promise today. So, you are prepared. If someone comes and, there's so many things going up there. So, if you don't understand, I prefer to stay calm. Keep quiet and pray the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you understand it before someone else, don't blame them. Don't condemn anyone. Don't despise anyone. Pray the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this topic. You've given us enough time to bring it, Lord, as we planned, but we know that it's only you in us that can understand it, that can make us to understand it correctly, O Lord. We are speaking from human lips. It may not have gone across as we planned, O Lord, but you, the revealer of the word, reveal it and make it alive into your children, O Lord. We commit the rest of the service into your hand. Bless us through the singing, through the worship, the offerings, and everything that will be done. Let it be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.